Good afternoon. This is University Grapevine, your resource for the buzz on campus. You're here with me, Katie, and the lovely Jamie Jordan and Jolly Big John. In the house to talk with us today is Mara, a member of Students Against War. Hi.
Hi there.
So Students Against War has been in the local and national news lately regarding the anti-military recruitment protests occurring about 1 week ago. That's kind of in the local news lately. So we just wanted to have you come in and talk to you and see what's going on.
All right. To start, can you tell us a little bit about your group, Students Against War, like when it was first formed and what the goal of the group is and what you guys are doing when you're not having protests and stuff?
All right. Well, Students Against War was first formed in January of 2005, shortly, or really right on the second inauguration of George W. Bush. And it was really formed to try to put a concrete face and like work with the anti-war movement in a more concrete way on a local level. So yeah.
Last year on April 5th, SAW or SAW, or Students Against War, had their first protest against military recruitment and was placed on the Pentagon's credible threat list. Were you present at the protest? Can you tell us kind of like what happened that would make them be put on, like be created, like or be made a credible threat?
Well, yeah, I was there. It was last April 5th, and it was a protest of the job fair, the military recruiters at the job fair that took place at the Stevenson Event Center. It started with there was probably a crowd of about 200 people, and about 80 people were inside directly protesting the recruiters. And, I personally don't see that it was...
Now, is that one of the, I did hear a protest about a group of people that were making out in front of the protest. Was that the protest?
No, we've actually
had... Oh,
is
that a different one?
Yeah, Students Against War has actually prevented military recruitment on this campus for the past 18 months.
Wow.
So we had one protest for the April 5th job fair of last year. That was the event that landed us on the Pentagon's list of anti-war actions across the country. And then we also had a protest in October of this year, of the fall, of the military recruiters at the fall job fair, where there was a kiss-in of queer students to highlight the military's homophobic policies with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, okay. But I did hear about some violence that happened at the protest. Do you think that maybe that had something to do with it?
Really, any violence, I mean, and that word can obviously be defined in many different ways. The only violence that was maybe present at the April 5th protest was enacted by police against students in, like, really an effort to control the crowd, but really a misuse of force in that regard. So the only really violent means came from police, and that was something that was echoed again at the protest last Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I have a question. Wasn't it suspected that the campus actually aided in spying and providing information to the government from last year's protest?
Well, the chancellor has come out quite forcibly against Pentagon spying at the school, and she has said that, you know, it's something that the administration condemns, and so we definitely appreciate that support. But there have been concerns that the administration itself conducts some questionable surveillance activities, mainly on our listserv, on the internet, and things like that. But the chancellor has come out against the Pentagon spying and has pushed, with the help of local congressmen and whatever, to get Students Against War and the April 5th, well, to get the April 5th protest removed from that list.
So you guys were removed from the list. How'd you guys go about that? Did the chancellor meet with someone and they took you guys off the list, or?
Frankly, I'm not personally familiar with the circuitous route that this whole thing took, but it was just really outrage from the community, from Students Against War itself, from the chancellor, and also from our representatives in Congress that that made that happen.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there was a Christian, like, Bible study group from Florida that was put on the list, so I think it's about as easy to get on the list as it is to get off. So, honest, like, that's probably pretty easy to get off. I think for them, it's probably just, oh, they protested. Oh, my, no.
Yeah, it's like anyone against the war is on the credible threat list.
Exactly. Well, I think that really highlights that this administration is growing increasingly nervous about losing public support for this illegal and, frankly, moral occupation of Iraq. Mm-hmm. And they're losing, Bush is losing his support in the polls, and support for the war is dwindling. And so these are kind of hysteric steps on the part of the government to, you know, limit the civil liberties of American citizens in an effort to, you know, continue to justify this this war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Also, I heard that there was police spying taking place at last year's protest. Was it happening at this year's protest also, or what do you know about that?
What I know about that is that the police in Santa Cruz and on this campus do record and use surveillance, including the use of undercover cops and cops dressed up as students and things like that. And that definitely was a factor on April 5th. And I I think it was a factor last Tuesday also.
Are they allowed to do that?
Well, I mean, I think it's the police.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they can do almost anything. I mean, I guess it's not like it hasn't been heard of before. Same thing as a narc that they send into high schools. Like, did you have those at your high school? And growing up, did you either? Like, we used to always have rumors that what they do is they send a cop that's undercover into the area to kind of, pretend like they're a student to see if they can find any drug things going on. Ooh. I mean, I grew up in a suburb, so I don't think that we had one, but
I don't think there was one at my high school either. But I've heard about that happening. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's necessarily unheard of or illegal. I think it's just something that sometimes happens. It's kind of a drastic step that they take.
I think it really just reflects, like, historically, the misuse, or not necessarily misuse, but of police power in order to intimidate groups out of various forms of social protest, things of that nature. And so that's when the surveillance really draws a line, and when it's a clear attempt to intimidate students, to intimidate community members, and that's where it really becomes problematic.
Now, do you know if any spies came into any of your meetings, or was it just the protests?
I don't know that information for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Also, do you think that last week's protest was successful?
I would say that that the protest was very successful. The Army and National Guard recruiters both left after about an hour and a half of students sitting in and chanting and doing various negotiations with police and administrators. And like I said, that means that military recruiters have been unable to recruit on this campus for a year and a half. So in that regard, it was very successful. It shows that you know, concrete steps can be taken on a local level that do have an impact on this country's ability to fight, or on this country's involvement in Iraq.
Were there any police or student violence that occurred at this protest last week?
I think the protest, I think, is best characterized as a peaceful event. If anything, there were some violence enacted on the part of police and one administrator in particular. Three students from Students Against War in the crowd, rather, were assaulted by police and questionably by one administrator. So really the only violence that was perpetuated at the event was on the part of the administration and the police force.
I heard, it was more like reported that as recruiters drove off, a rock was thrown at their SUV, and then I guess an officer tried to pursue the person that threw the rock, and a legal observer with a camera also took after the person that did it. And then I heard that someone else was arrested. Is that true? I mean, did that happen?
I don't know anything about the rock incident at all. I can assure that that wasn't a member of Students Against War. Like, I just don't, that's not really what we're down for. What did happen that I do know about is that a member of our legal observation team that was just there to kind of document what happened, also document the police and administrative response, because that can tend to be problematic. He was put in handcuffs and detained after filming a police officer filming various student protest activity. So he was detained in a College 8 classroom for about 20 minutes, but the overwhelming support of the crowd, including faculty and staff, to get him released. He was released, and it's unclear about any charges that individual face.
Why do you think that SAW's protests are getting so much national attention, local and national?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it really speaks to just the state of this country and public opinion right now concerning the war. Obviously, the past few weeks, we've seen really intense demonstrations for immigrant rights and against H.R. 4437. And so I just think that the atmosphere in this country right now of opposition to the war and opposition to this administration is making a lot of people in power very nervous, and they are seeking to discredit the anti-war movement as much as possible. And I think that explains some of the repressive things that have happened in the wake of this protest. But really, I think it reflects just an acknowledgement that actions like this are successful, that movements like this are growing, things like that.
I have a question. I've been hearing about different SAW members that have been going on to public TV shows. Like, which ones have they been going on? Like, have you been on any, like, national... I heard that O'Reilly Factor tried to get someone from SAW to come in, and SAW refused.
SAW actually has refused to have any contact with the Fox News Corporation in particular. Yeah. We have done interviews on various, you know, local radio stations and indie media. We're down for that. But several programs on Fox have contacted us, and we've declined all of them. But other people related to this campus have gone on.
Professors.
Professor Dan Wuerls, a politics professor, went on Hannity and Combs the other night to just give an outlook of a professor on this campus. And a member of City on the Hill Press went on the O'Reilly Factor. And then there was also one morning Fox News show that covered the story.
Yeah, I did hear about the City on a Hill Press person that went on to O'Reilly Factor. He kind of got, like, assaulted with questions that he wasn't really qualified to answer. Do you think that SAW is, like, responsible to kind of answer the nation's questions at all? I mean, if people are concerned, like, how do they really know what's going on? They only hear what the news projects. So how can they really know what's going on if no one from SAW doesn't go on and speak?
Right. Well, I would really, I think it's very important to differentiate the nation's questions, or maybe the citizen of America's questions, with the Fox News agenda, which I do think is very real. And I think, and again, like, I'm just a member of SAW, so what I'm saying, you know, does not necessarily reflect everybody in our group. Like, we have a huge number of people who associate in some way with Students Against War. But just, I think it really comes out of a desire to just not legitimate Fox News as a news source, and rather, you know, give our story and release our story to as many independent media sources as possible, and media organizations that are truly interested in a balanced report and fairness. And Fox News, I think, has proved to not particularly be interested in those things.
Okay, so I have another question about the student who was arrested. He was supposedly arrested for filming, is that right? Filming the protest?
As far as I know, he was arrested for documenting with a camera, a policeman documenting with a camera.
But yeah, that's my question. Like, how can the police document these events, but the students aren't allowed to document them? That doesn't seem fair to me.
I think he was officially cited with interfering with police investigation. So that's obviously something that can be interpreted in a broad number of ways. I think it generally can be categorized as a pretty reactionary arrest of the student that really had no basis and really was unreasonable and a waste of time.
Last time you had a student who videotaped the events, and it got circulated around the internet, so people actually saw what the police were doing. And I'm sure that this time they didn't want anybody to see what they were doing during the protest, because it makes them look pretty bad, doesn't it, when they get filmed?
Absolutely. And in fact, the administration with the police did not let any media media into the job fair or into the room where the military recruiters were set up. And so that does, I think, speak to their concern that various police administrative actions will, you know, cause outrage in the campus and in the community. But luckily, there were enough people there with cameras that were able to document some of the administrative and police response that was very questionable. And a really good source for all this information and photographs is Indy Bay, the Santa Cruz page on indybay.org.
How do you spell Indy?
I-N-D-Y Bay.org. And then Santa Cruz page has a history of SAW and our past actions, and also a pretty detailed.
Yeah, Indy Bay is a really good source for anyone that wants to know pretty much anything that's really going on, because they're kind of a non-biased, just a public's opinion of what is going on. It's kind of it's not really sponsored by anyone, and, well, it kind of is because they need to live, but they're not really controlled by anyone. Like you said, Fox, they kind of have an agenda. They don't really have an agenda except for have what is going on come out. So I think that Indy Bay is a really good source for any general information on what's going on in our area.
Yeah, I go on there a lot, and there's always a lot of information. There's great information about Students Against War. I was looking on there last night, and there's like 10 or more different articles about the protests with pictures and everything. It's really, really helpful.
Well, the thing about Indy Media is that, yeah, as you point out, it is like open source, and there isn't any corporate management, obviously, and pretty much anyone is available to post or is able to post things on Indy Bay, and so it's a great resource in that regard.
And you guys are listening to KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM. We're here with student activist.
It's Mara from Students Against War.
Thank you. And we can actually take calls if you want. We know a lot of people are interested in these issues, and they've heard about these protests, and they've been concerned about the fate of these protesters who they largely support. Wouldn't you agree, in this community especially, you have a lot of support from the community?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think that generally SAW's actions are supported by majority of the campus community and Santa Cruz, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if you aren't supporting the issue, you can voice your opinion. The numbers in the studio here are 459-4036 and 459-KZSC. Once again, 459-4036 and 459-KZSC.
Speaking of, like... Wow. Oh, hello, there's a call.
Go ahead, your comment.
Like, there's a lot of, like, support in the community, but there's also opposition on campus. What do you feel about, like, other students that are kind of opposing what you're doing?
Well, other students who are opposing what SAW is doing, I guess, are more than welcome to voice their opinion, however they choose to do that.
Okay. Should we take a caller?
Yeah, why don't we? Hello, this is KZSC.
You're on the air.
You're on the air. Hello?
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 Yes, hi. I'm calling with a comment and a question.
Okay, go ahead.
On the talk show. One is, I think it's great that you guys are getting involved and protesting and all. But my question is, exactly who are you trying to reach with these protests? It seems to me that if you wanted to change people's ideas, that you should be reaching the people who are most likely to, use the services of the recruiters rather than drive them away to where they'll go someplace where they won't be bothered. You know, for example, like the California Miss California pageant that was driven out of town. Now, in order to protest, you have to go pretty far out of your way. Likewise, with the Navy ships coming into town and being driven away. The people you need to reach, I think, are those that would be interested in these. So I'm just curious what your comments are about that and all that. And I'll take the answer over the air.
Yeah, thanks for your question. I would say, I mean, many people have suggested, you know, that UCSC really is not a big draw for recruiters, not that many people are recruited here, and that's definitely true. If anything, the recruiters are here looking for officers programs, things of that nature. So there is a question like, well, is what you're doing just symbolic? Are you just symbolically kicking recruiters off your campus to voice opposition for the war? But as one of my fellow SAW members mentioned during the action, that really nothing is ever purely symbolic. And by, you know, showing really the nation that there are places in this country where, you know, the military, it's not welcome, things like that. That really gives support to groups like Students Against War in other parts of the country, maybe an area that is not as liberal, I guess I would say, as UC Santa Cruz. And so we get a lot of mail from other counter-recruitment groups, other anti-war groups, asking us, you know, about our tactics, about problems we've run into. And so really it's a struggle that has just many fronts. Students Against War has also done counter-recruitment activity in local high schools, and that's really where the struggle is the most pressing, because obviously the recruit of high school students is much more intense and coercive than at college settings in order to recruit for officers programs and things of that nature.
And isn't the main thing that the fact is that they keep coming, and their guidelines in the military for recruitment are against UC guidelines in the general, like, there's no, like, they're not sexist, they aren't racial, they aren't any, not like that here. That's a guideline for UC standards. And the fact is that the military recruitment doesn't go by those standards.
Yeah, the administration, or the UC regents, rather, adopted a non-discrimination policy in 1984. Right, that, that, you know, says that discriminatory institutions and groups are not allowed in campus functions. But because of a law called the Solomon Amendment, which was passed in the 90s, recruiters are forced, universities must allow recruiters on campus, and if they don't, then their federal funding can get cut. And so the administration, the Solomon Amendment was challenged in the Supreme Court, and unfortunately it was upheld just a few months ago. So really the administration in one regard is stuck between a rock and a hard place. So they do have to allow recruiters on to job fairs, despite the fact that the military is a discriminatory, homophobic institution. However, they do not need to go to the great lengths to protect military from student protest, and that is what we're trying to show, that yes, okay, maybe the federal law, like, holds the administrative feet to the fire, but we will still protest, and we will still show opposition to the military whenever they do come.
Yeah, I had a question about the whole Solomon Amendment thing. It says that you guys have to accommodate military recruiters on campus, but I also heard that UCSC might lose $80 million of federal funding because of the protests against military recruitment. Do you think this is plausible? Do you think it will actually happen?
Frankly, I don't think that it's plausible. It's definitely something that, you know, the Bill O'Reilly types are, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, calling for UCSC's funding to get cut. But I think anybody who was actually at the protest or saw any footage of the protest or really talked to people who were there would understand that this was truly just, you know, student protest, which is protected under the Constitution. And the administration did invite recruiters to go on, so they weren't to come on to campus, so they weren't in violation of the law in that regard. And recruiters chose to leave because they were faced with such overwhelming protest and weren't being effective. So,
and if that, oh, hello, apparently we have a fax coming in, I'm sorry. And with everything that's been going on, if that does happen where the money is taken away, like, how do you feel about taking money away from students? I mean, that's my financial aid, your financial aid, her financial aid. Like, does SAW feel responsible at all for what's going on?
Well, again, nothing is going on. Our federal funding is fine and safe right now. It does, I think, the threat that federal funding could get cut is as unreasonable as I think that threat is. It has encouraged, you know, the chancellor to come out and be with pretty repressive statements about students. She's condemned the action from Students Against War. So really the administration is doing everything they can to cover their asses and suggest that...
So she's spoken out against SAW or for SAW?
The chancellor has released a statement that basically condemns the actions of the protest, but I would like to point out that that is mostly a capitulation to right-wing, these right-wing attacks that the administration has received from all sides, kind of.
Give us a call in the studio if you want to ask our guest and our host a question. We have a call on line one.
Hello, you're on?
Yeah, hi. I'm Jason Scores. I'm a professor here in Santa Cruz. I just heard some of your comments. Just real quick, you know, I'm about as liberal as you can get in terms of traditional sense. But I kind of, some of the comments about the military recruiters not being welcome in Santa Cruz, I have to say, I think that's a little extreme and a little offensive. I mean, you know, the military has a role in society, and we need to engage these people. And, you know, trying to kick people off and, you know, saying that they're not welcome. I mean, there's a lot of really good people in the military. They do, you know, they serve a lot of good functions. And I just think, I don't really find that really constructive. And, again, this is coming from someone who opposes the war and who's pretty liberal. So, you know, I'll take your comments when I get off. Thanks.
All right, Will.
Well, yeah, I mean, really this all does come down to opposing the war, and it's the belief of Students Against War that one really concrete way to do that is that if there are no recruits, then there are no troops, and there can be no war. And that's kind of our bottom line. I would like to point out that the military spends huge amounts of money on recruitment campaigns. It's really inescapable, frankly. And so to suggest that it's, you know, that we're somehow limiting people's opportunities to access the recruiters, you know, that's what we're hoping to do on this campus, because we don't want our friends and our fellow classmates to get involved in the military and be part in the decision making that is going to kill Iraqis. But there are the recruiters, obviously, their grip on high schools and in on advertising campaigns really, you know, coming out and showing our opposition to them on UCSC campus, I think, is perfectly within our right.
I think we should take a short break and give our guests a little bit of time to rest, and we'll take more of your calls, so get your questions ready. The number in the studio is 459-4036 or 459-KZSC, and we'll have more with this great activist on campus. English. As a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports free expression of and exchange of ideas, but we do recognize that some listeners may be offended by portions of our programming. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of our speakers or artists only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Regents, KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee at 831-459-4726 or by mail at KZSC Radio, UC Santa Cruz, 1156 High Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95064. And we're back in the studio. You can give us a call for the next 5 minutes. The number in the studio is 459-4036 or 459-KZSC.
And as our hour comes to a close, Jamie, do you have a last question?
Yes, I want to ask Mara from Students Against War how SAW is structured and what other stuff that the group does besides counter-recruitment. What other events do you guys have going on? And
you
what
might
want to
repeat
on?
That because
okay. Sorry,
John here wasn't quite ready with the microphone.
It's been a crazy show.
All right, my question is, how is Students Against War structured and what other events and stuff do you do besides counter-recruitment?
Yeah, good question. We'll say Students Against War is a non-hierarchical and non-authoritarian group. We don't really have a rigid structure or hierarchy with the president. So in that regard, I'd just like to repeat that I'm just, you know, a member. Anyone who comes to our meetings, for the most part, is immediately, you know, can vote and things like that. Meetings are run by rotating facilitators to just try to make the conversation run smoothly, and we make decisions based on modified consensus. And our other two, in addition to counter-recruitment, our other two working groups, as we call them, are demilitarization, and they really focus on other aspects of the campus that have become increasingly militarized, including the partnership between the UC Regents and the Bechtel Corporation for the management of the nuclear labs at Los Alamos, and things of that nature. And then our third breakout group is just education about the war, and we put on a very successful teach-in a few months ago about the war.
Okay, great. And does SAW have any plans for the future coming up?
Well, definitely. What we're dealing with right now, really ever since our protest, there's been, it's possible to see throughout the country a wave of repression of student activism. So right now, we're just wanting to be clear that we stand in solidarity with counter-recruitment campus activists at San Francisco State University who faced repression from police and their administrators after their April, I believe it was 14th, protest at their job fair. And also, we stand in solidarity with the immigrants' rights movements across the nation who have also, people involved in that struggle have also been facing really horrible repression and attacks from police and various school administrations. But past that, SAW is just looking to the future. Counter-recruitment will continue to, you know, explore ways that we can work with high school students for the purposes of countering recruitment at their high schools, both in Santa Cruz and in the Central Coast generally. And the great things will be coming from our demilitarization working group also. So if you want to get involved, you should come. SAW's meetings are Friday evenings at 5 o'clock in one of the conference rooms above Baytree Bookstore. Just come up there and we'll be there, and you're more than welcome.
So they get involved by coming to the meetings, or is there another way that they can get involved?
Coming to the meetings is a great start. Also, you can check out our website, which is saw.revolt.org, for other ways to get involved. I'm pretty much just talking to anybody who is in SAW is a great way to just find out, possible things that you'd want to do.
You guys have a lot of members, don't you?
We don't have
a campus group.
We don't have an official membership list or anything like that, but our meetings are always, you know, overcrowded, and I guess they can't be overcrowded, but we're always looking for bigger and bigger rooms. There are a lot of people who really identify with this cause, and you know, apart from just coming to meetings, I think most people support on this campus are supporting the work of Students Against War.
And despite the fact that you guys have been spied on by the government and you've been considered a threat to their activities, you're pretty much a loose-knit organization, and anybody could just pretty much walk in and become a part of you guys. Is that not true? I mean, there's no secrets being held by your group.
It's a very inclusive organization. Really, anyone who is against the war and who is ready to, examine how we can be against the war in a local setting and things like that, is most definitely welcome.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you very much, Mara. We really appreciate just the fact that you guys were willing to come on. I know that you're, like us, your students and your schedule is really busy, so we really appreciate it that you kind of took time out of your day to come in.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that in a minute, if you'll stay tuned, we are kind of at the end of our broadcast. We are going to have campus and community events with Bruce Breton, our lovely friend from the community. So, please stay tuned.